to him. Amen? Because that's what God is all about. He is our Papa God. He is our Father God. And he desires just to bless us as we come with hearts, just willing just to receive from him, willing to just take all that he's willing to give to us. So why don't we go ahead? Let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Father. Father, we just come before you and we ask you now, Lord, that you will just allow your holy presence just to fill this entire place. Because we know this time is not about us. We want it to be all about you. And I pray that your word, as it is spoken, Father, I know, Lord, you're going to speak your word through me. And whatever it is, Lord, that whatever we know that we think that we are not experiencing what we want in life, Lord, that you're going to fulfill it. You're going to bring forth your goodness in such ways that we're going to know it is truly our Papa God that is providing for us. So, Lord God, I pray you will truly have your way in this time because, Lord, we desire you more than anything in this life. We give this time fully into your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I got to tell you, we know summer is almost coming to an end, and I'm so glad. You know, I spent a lot of time in the past couple months working out at the gym as I'm accompanied by my son Benson. And I got to tell you, I'm not really sure if you see the difference, but I actually lost some weight, praise God. And I spent a lot of time on the treadmill and on the bikes and all the other exercise weight machines. And, you know, but I got to tell you, Benson, on the other hand, he had a personal trainer, and he got a lot of encouragement and coaching from him. And as I got to tell you, he really gave him these detailed plans of how to pack on the muscle and the weight. And you probably see the difference, right, Benson? But anyway, I remember from the very get-go, the trainer would stress the three most important things he had to do if he wanted to see quick results. And he told him three things. You got to eat more, work out more, and rest and sleep more. Three things. He told him those are three things you have to do. And to tell you the truth, you know, I wish the first one applied to me, eating more. But, you know, there's the case where, no, unfortunately, I got to do the complete opposite because my goal is different. I want to lose weight, right? So I got to try to eat less. But you know, the other two, I try my best to accomplish. And you know, it requires doing a lot of aerobic exercises on the equipment. And then what? Well, after I'm, you know, finished with all the exercises, yeah, I fall asleep throughout the whole day, which is not good. And I doze off right throughout the whole day. But that's not what is supposed to happen, right? I'm supposed to get more energy, but I end up dozing off throughout the day. But one day I heard Benson's trainer emphasizing three things for him to do that would really make a difference. And I realized this training regimen could also apply not only to physical training for muscle growth, but also training for spiritual growth. And too often, right, I hear many believers, you know, they're saying and wishing that they had more spiritual growth in their lives because they will say, you know what, it seems like I'm progressing, you know, I'm getting close to God, I'm experiencing God more, I'm praying more, I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to be doing, and suddenly it's like they hit a brick wall. You guys ever experienced like something like that before? It seems like you're moving forward and suddenly, boom, you hit something and you fall flat, and then you kind of realize, hey, what happened? I thought I was moving forward with God. I thought I was getting so strong in the Lord. And, you know, it seems like they get to this certain point of improvement, and then suddenly they stop growing. And they start to actually regress to their former condition. Well, I decided to make it a part of my sermon series called The Ultimate Guarantees of God. And this would be part 5. And the title, you see it in your notes, is called The Training Program for Guaranteed Spiritual Growth. And just like the trainer said, if you do these three things, right, you're going to experience growth. And in this case, it would be spiritual growth. So here's a question. What are the three most important things for a Christian believer to do to experience spiritual growth? Well, look at number one. It says, eat more. What? Of the word of the Lord, right? Of the word of God. And you know, the personal trainer had indicated to Benson, because he's young, right? He can eat however much he wants and whatever he wants. How many of you wish you could do the same thing, right? Someone told me, oh, what if your doctor told you, you know what, just go home, eat whatever you like, whatever you desire, eat it, and eat as much as you want. Oh man, we'd be happy, wouldn't we? but once again, I wish it could apply to me. But sometimes, you know, he will tell Benson, you know, eat an entire pizza throughout the day because just you got to want to pack on the weight. You know, that's what you got to do. But when it concerns our spirituality, what do we got to eat more of? The Word of God. And it simply means when we eat more of the Word of God, we got to desire the Word of God. We got to spend time in the Word of God. We got to read and meditate on His Word each and every day. Amen? And you may remember what Jesus said to the devil when he tried to tempt him. Look what it says in Matthew 4, 3 to 4. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but what? On every word that comes from the mouth of God." And so Jesus is saying, hey, come on. What it's all about in this life is about living according to the Word of God. You want your life to be blessed. You want your life to experience the goodness of God. You got to live by His Word. It's not just saying, okay, I'm a Christian because I go to church, because I occasionally help out in the ministry. No, it's you actually saying, I need the Word of God, and I want to live according to what it says. And that's what Jesus is telling us. He made it very clear that his life was a reflection of God's word. Is your life a reflection of God's word? Because it should be. Mine should be too. Because sometimes, yes, we will make mistakes. Sometimes, you know, people will say, you're a Christian? I never imagined. Can't imagine someone saying that, you know, to you. And because we make mistakes, right? Yeah, occasionally we will sin. We will fall, you know, on our behind, I can say, you know, where we know that we're saying and doing things we're not supposed to. And that's something we got to realize. We're going to make mistakes, but it's got to be that you're going to move forward. You're going to repent of your sins, and you're going to keep moving forward and becoming more and more like Jesus. Look what the prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15, 16 to 17. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. When your words came, what did he do? I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. I never sat in the company of revelers, never made merry with them. I sat alone because your hand was upon me, and you filled me with indignation. And so when he ate the word of God, he knew that he couldn't remain the same. I want you to understand, that's what it means to eat of the word of God. It just doesn't mean to read it and say, okay, I memorize it, and okay, it's good now. I can recite it, and everyone asks me, I can tell you exactly where it is, and I can tell you word for word. It's not enough. I want to tell you, when you eat of the Word of God, look what it says here. It becomes his joy and his heart's delight. Is the Word of God your joy and your heart's delight? Do you love to do what the Word of God tells you to do? Because if you do, I'm going to tell you, your life will dramatically change. You're going to see how your life will become so blessed when you take joy in doing the Word of God. And look what it says here. I never sat in the company of revelers, which are troublemakers, right? I never made merry with them. I sat alone because your hand was upon me and you filled me with indignation. It means that, you know what? He didn't like the fact that, you know, there were other people around him that were sinning and doing all the things that are worldly. It made him, you could say, disgusted. He said, you know what? That's not what I want to do. That was me, how I was before, but not anymore, because I'm striving to become more and more like Jesus. Can you see the heart? Can you feel the heart of Jeremiah? And that's what we should have, that kind of desire to say, I'm going to live the word, and I'm going to become more like my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? And for the prophet, he had such a strong passion and desire for the word of God, he simply couldn't get enough of it. I mean, it's just like for him, you know, he wanted to get more and more. He wanted the Word of God to change him to the point where he's not the same as he was before. You know, there was this man in Kansas City who was severely injured in an explosion. And the victim's face was badly disfigured, and he lost his eyesight as well as both hands. Can you imagine that? And he was just a new Christian, and one of his greatest disappointments was that he could no longer read the Bible. Can you imagine? He lost his vision. He lost both hands. You know his greatest disappointment? I can't read the Bible anymore. Wow. But then he heard about this lady in England who read Braille with her lips. And hoping to do the same, he sent for some books of the Bible in Braille. And much to his dismay, however, he discovered that the nerve endings in his lips had been destroyed by the explosion. Can you imagine? He wanted to read the Bible with his lips through Braille, but he's like, I can't. There's no feeling in his lips. So one day, as he brought one of the Braille pages to his lips, right, his tongue happened to touch a few of the raised characters, and he could feel them. Like a flash, he thought, I can read the Bible using my tongue. And it had been reported, right, that since this article had been written, he had read through the entire Bible 4 times. Can you imagine? With his tongue. I mean, would you do that? I mean, you know, a lot of people, they would say, you know what? Look what happened to me. I don't have any hands. I don't have any sensation. You know, I can't see. Who cares about the Bible anymore? But no, his greatest desire said, no, I'm going to continue to get in the Word of God. Because think about this. How many of us can say we read through the Bible 4 times with 2 good eyes? Come on, right? This man had a craving. And even though he lost his eyesight, that would not prevent him from reading God's Word. Let me ask you something. Do you have this kind of craving for the Word of God? Whereas you wake up in the morning, you reach for your Bible. Okay, Lord, I need to hear from you. You know, I mean, that's the kind of grave craving we need to have. Because, you know, otherwise you can say, you know what? Okay, I just woke up, so I'm going to sleep for another half an hour. And then, you know what? I'm just going to sleep a little bit longer. And, you know, I'm just going to do what I want. Maybe I'll watch some TV. And then maybe I've got like a few minutes left, I'll read the Bible. No, you go with that kind of attitude, you're never going to get this craving for the Word of God. Amen? And this man, he had this kind of craving. And that's why, you know, his desire is to just receive the Word of God, no matter what his situation is, no matter what can happen to him. No, he always will desire the Word of God. I want you to look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Okay, let's read it together. Ready? Go. So get rid of all evil behavior, be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all kind of unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must what? You must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you had a taste of the Lord's kindness. And you know, when we first became a Christian, you know, we had to develop this craving for the Word. And how do we get this craving for the Word? Well, oftentimes, right, we listen to a preacher or pastor's teaching or preaching, you know, and it could be a Bible Sunday school teacher that really explained to you things from the Word. And then suddenly you realize, oh, well, this sounds really good. I need this, right? I want to know more. But the craving for the spiritual milk doesn't really come until what? You start to do the Word of God, and you realize, you know what? When I do the Word of God, things happen. My life is really changing. I'm really changing when I start to do the Word of God. And that is why you gotta crave the spiritual milk. Because as babies, that's what we can take, right? We can only take spiritual milk. We cannot take solid food. And you know, there's this British evangelist. You've probably heard of him. His name is George Mueller, right? He was also a director of this orphanage and was known for his very strong faith. But he confided to this reporter. He says, the first 3 years after my conversion to Christianity, I neglected the Word of God, he says. Since I began to search it diligently, the blessings have been wonderful. And I have read the Bible through 100 times already, and I always read through it with increasing delight. Wow, he read through the entire Bible 100 times. And I gotta tell you, the more you read into it, the more the Holy Spirit reveals things to you. Amen? That's why you gotta have this kind of craving, because you realize, you know, you're not just reading it and just think, okay, I read this before, I memorized this before. So now what? No, if you go with that kind of attitude, you're not gonna get the revealing things that God wants to show to you. The Holy Spirit will always reveal to you new things as you seek His word, as you seek His heart, as you seek His face. And, you know, that's the thing that will take place, right? We're going to have this spiritual milk, pure spiritual milk that we know is the word of God. But guess what? We cannot stay on just spiritual milk. It has to progress, amen? What does it progress to? Well, look what it says here in Hebrews 5, 12 to 14. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through what? The training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So as you get the pure milk, right, it kind of gives you that realization, you know what, this can be really helpful, right? But what's going to happen is as you continue to take this milk, right, this pure spiritual milk, you're going to realize, no, this is my spiritual destiny, my spiritual change that will take place in my life if I consistently live according to it. Then and only then it will become solid food. You know why it becomes solid food? Because suddenly you're going to get the wisdom of the Lord. And you're going to get the word of God so deep in your mind, so deep in your heart. You know, when things happen in your life, you're going to know what to do because the word of God is written on your heart. Amen? And that's what solid food is. And we got to experience what this solid food is all about. And that only comes when you become mature in your faith. The more mature you are as a Christian in your spirituality, the more wisdom you're going to receive from God. You're going to know what to do in certain situations in your life when you know, things will happen, right? You're not going to panic. You're not going to get all freaked out. You're going to turn to the Word of God. And He will give you solid food. Not just milk anymore, because that's for babies, right? And that's good, right? We all had to start off with that, whether physically or spiritually. But become solid food when you actually are consistently doing what the Word of God tells you to do. You know, there was this American Indian who had been converted to Christianity. And he described the old and the new nature this way. He said this. He says, "There's two dogs that live in me." That's what he says. He says, one is the old dog. He's mean and vicious, and he's hard and sinful. And then there's this new dog who walks after Jesus Christ. And he says, these two dogs, they are constantly fighting to have control of me. And he says, which one wins? Well, he says, the one that I feed the most. That one is the one who wins. And this is what he's trying to say. That there are two natures within you, the old nature and the new nature, right? Our new nature is our identity in Christ. And they're fighting for dominance. Which one's going to win? Well, it's the one that you feed the most. If you walk in the world, right, you walk in circles where they tell you the world's jokes, right? And you may laugh at them. It could be a dirty joke or whatever, right? Guess what? You're going to live by the world's standard and the world's rules. And that man will win. Because you fed him and you made him strong. You made him dominant because you give in all the time, right? But here's the thing. But if you walk in the Spirit, this is what happens. You daily meditate on the Word of God and you feed on God's Word. You pray and you associate yourself with other believers who talk, not about worldly things. They talk about Jesus. Amen? They talk about the goodness of God. And this new man will have dominance because you fed him and you made him strong. And guess what? You've been eating solid food. This is what it all entails. If you are eating solid food, which means you're eating the Word of God, you're doing it, you're living it, it's consistently something you desire. Guess what? You're going to mature as a Christian. You're going to find that you're desiring more and more of God each and every day. Amen? Well, look at number two. It says, work out more. Where? in God's mission field. You know, I have to tell you, the trainer gave Benson and I this challenge of doing push-ups every day, starting with 5 repetitions, right, and adding one every day. So let's say you start on Monday, you do 5 push-ups. Tuesday, you do 6 push-ups. Wednesday, you do 7 push-ups. You want to try that? I got to tell you, I quit on the second day. I was thinking, this is not for me, you know. But Benson, he kept it going, and, you know, he can do almost like 100 push-ups, you know. And he had a hard time in the beginning, too. But that's the thing. You just keep going, right? Because it's so easy just to drop out, just say, you know what? I quit because it's too hard, right? And that's what it is a lot of times, right? We realize if the workout is too difficult and there's no fun in it, guess what? We say, I don't want to do it anymore. And we just say, I'm going to do something else. You know, this is too hard. And I got to tell you, you know, often you may hear pastors, you know, having great difficulty in getting their church members excited about a certain ministry. But you realize this is the work of the Lord. If you know this ministry is touching many lives, touching many hearts, it's reaching others for Christ, yeah, you should get excited about it because it's not for the pastor. It's not for, you know, the people in the church. It's not even for yourself. You're doing it for Jesus Christ. Amen? And you should have this excitement because you have been chosen. You have been picked out by God to do great and mighty works for his kingdom. Amen? You know, look what it says here in Matthew 9, 36 to 38. Read it with me. Ready? Go. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and they were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is what? Plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers in his harvest field. And you realize, yes, the harvest is plentiful. In other words, there are many souls, many people out there that are lost, that need to hear the gospel of Christ. But are there many workers? No. According to Jesus, it says that the workers are what? Few. It's not enough. And why? Because, you know, oftentimes, right, I really believe because we live in such a techie, that's the word, techie kind of world. It seems like we always got to be entertained. We always got to have fun. And if it's not fun, if it's not, you know, exciting to us, we don't want to do it. But you know what? If God's called you to be the one vessel to go out there and reach many souls, to reach many hearts, are you going to keep saying no? Because if God is calling you out, you should say, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you ask. Amen? It should be that your heart is always so big, so wanting and desiring to do what the Lord has called you to do. And, you know, whatever he's called you to do, do it with great heart. Because God, remember, what does he look at first and foremost when you are serving him, when you're doing his work? Is he looking at your mind? He's looking at your physical appearance? He's seeing if you got a smile on your face? No, he's looking right at your heart. Are you doing it with great passion because you love him? Because if you are, I'm going to tell you, you're going to see how your ministry will grow, and you're going to see how God will bless your life even more. Look what it says there in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves what? Fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not useless. And that's what it means. Whatever you do for the Lord, there's going to be his power that will come forth. You're going to see miracles. You're going to see how God will demonstrate his great and mighty power in your life and the people around you. You know, there's this story of the testing of this candidate for missions work. All right. And so, you know, one snowy morning at 5 a.m., you know, a missionary candidate rang the bell at a missionary examiner's home. OK, so this examiner was supposed to kind of like interview him and kind of see if he's appropriate material, right, to become a missionary. So this candidate was ushered into the office and he sat there 3 hours past his appointment time waiting for his interview. So he sat there for 3 hours, and not until 8 a.m., right, this retired missionary appeared and began questioning him. And the first question he asked him, can you spell? And he kind of was mystified, you know, the candidate, and he said, yes, sir, I can. And so the guy says, all right, spell Baker. So he spells Baker, B-A-K-E-R. And the interviewer says, fine, now do you know anything about numbers? And the examiner continued, as he continued asking him these questions, right? And so the guy says, well, yes, sir, I know something about numbers. And so he said, well, please add 2 plus 2. And the candidate replied, well, that's 4, okay? And the designer said, okay, that's fine. And he says, I believe you have passed. I'll tell the board tomorrow. So at the board meeting, right, the examiner reported on the interview, and he says to them, he says, he has all the qualifications for a fine missionary. He says, first, I tested him on self-denial, making him arrive at my home 5 in the morning. He left a warm bed on a snowy morning without any complaint. Secondly, I tested him on promptness. Yeah, he arrived on time. Yeah, 3 hours, right, ahead, right? Or 3 hours before, you know? And third, he says, I examined him on patience. I made him wait 3 hours to see me. And then fourth, I tested him on temper, and he failed to show any anger or aggravation. And fifth, I tried his humility by asking him questions that a 7-year-old child could answer, and he showed no annoyance at all. So he says, so you see, I believe the candidate meets the requirements. He will make the fine missionary we need. And here's the whole point of this. Yes, Spirit-given abilities are needed in the mission field, but Spirit-produced fruit is even more important. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I mean, these are the things that God wants us to have developed in our character. Amen? Because, yeah, you can say, I have all these God-given, Spirit-given abilities. Well, what's even more important is, what kind of fruits have been produced in your character, in your life? Because that's what God looks at. And I'm going to tell you, when you start doing the work of God, that's when these characters will be developed. That's when the fruit of your character will come forth. And I have to tell you, I was in that kind of situation where I was going from church to church, you know, when I first became a Christian, and I really didn't have spiritual growth. Not until I started to what? To serve the Lord. And whatever it is, it could be wherever, I mean, whatever God's called you to do, if you start serving the Lord, that's when your character starts to develop, because guess what? You're going to be interacting with people. You're going to go out in the mission field, and suddenly God will develop patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. I mean, that's when you really, really will become more like Jesus. It's when you start to go out in the mission field. Amen? And that's why I tell people it's so important. You want to grow spiritually, you got to get out there. Amen? You start doing the work of the Lord, and you're going to see how you truly will change. I want you to look what it says here in Colossians 3:23-24. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Whatever you do, work at it with what? All your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. Once again, remember, you're doing it for who? For God. You're not doing it for the pastor. You're not doing it for the leader or anyone, or for your wife or your spouse or whoever. No, 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 no. You're doing it for Jesus Christ, and work at it with all your heart. I want you to look what it says in Philippians 2:12-16. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work what? Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. Wow. And it tells us, you got to work what? Hard. Yeah, because some people, it takes too much work. I don't want to do it, right? And you say, I got to drive how far? Forget about that, right? No, God says, work hard. You're doing this for him. And what does it say there? For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. He will give you the desire to. Just don't say, it's too much of a hassle for me, and you end up not doing it. No, he'll give you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. You want to please God? Of course we do, don't we? Because if you please God, you know, this is what God said he will do. He will what? Reward us. It's when we choose to do what pleases him. And so when we don't complain, when we don't argue, we just do what he asks, right? We know he will pour out his blessings upon our lives. And here's the thing. I think when we do the work of God, you know, we should always ask ourselves, what can I do even more? Because it seems like, okay, I'm doing so much already. Well, just ask yourself, Lord, what can I do even more for you? Because remember, he gives you the desire and the what? The power. So it's not really so much your own strength or your power that's doing it. No, it's his power in you. Amen? So as you allow him to do it, yeah, you're going to experience greater blessings. You're going to experience greater fruit, you know? So that's so important that we got to say, Lord, what can I do even more? You know, in a Sunday evening church at First Baptist Church of Albuquerque, right, there was this woman named Mary who was a divorcee in her early 30s, and she was also a cocktail waitress. And she came forward during the singing of Just As I Am, you know, announcing her desire to become a follower of Christ. You know, she was so excited. She heard the word of God, and she says, I want to know Jesus even more. And so First Baptist Church members discovered that Mary needed to be baptized. So a service of baptism for her was scheduled for a Sunday evening several weeks later. And the friend who had originally brought Mary to the church, he did a very interesting thing. You know what he did? He sent out engraved invitations like those, you know, that you send out for a graduation or for a wedding. Guess what? He sent out invitations to Mary's social network, inviting them to come and take witness of the baptism. And so that Sunday evening, several rows were filled with her friends from the bowling alley, friends from her beauty shop, you know, fellow workers and friends from the cocktail lounge, and neighbors, and a parent of hers, cousins, her former husband, and her current boyfriend. Can you imagine that? And the group probably had represented most of her entire social network. And, you know, the pastor held a reception afterwards. There was food. There was a lot of celebration with singing. And the pastor briefly shared with Mary's friend what had been happening in her life. And he briefly told them about the ministries of their congregation, including the invitation to receive Jesus Christ into their heart. Can you guess what happened? Well, for the next several Sunday evenings, Mary walked down the aisle with her friends during the singing of the invitational hymn as they gave their lives over to Jesus. I'm going to tell you, you know, when we go above and beyond, because we can say, okay, I want to go this much, because I know this work is already hard, so I'll just go do what I think is probably the minimum, right, of what I need to do, and that's good enough. Well, I got to tell you, when you go above and beyond, people start to take notice. People say, well, you're willing to do this for me? What? You're willing not just to give me money, you're willing to take me out and have lunch? And you're willing to really speak forth the word of God into me that I will understand it? You're willing to do this for me? I mean, that's when hearts are touched. When people realize, yeah, your motivation is for the Lord. Your motivation is that you will see how they will come to know Jesus Christ because you're willing to go above and beyond. Amen? That's what it takes. And that's why Mary and her friends, they said, you know, imagine her whole social network of friends who once was so much into the world now has come to know Jesus Christ. All because why? We're willing to go above and beyond. And our motivation is what? The love of God. Amen? And look what it says here in Hebrews 6:10-12. Read it with me. Ready? Go. For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by what? Caring for other believers as you still do. So let's stop right there. How do you show how much you love God? By loving who? Loving other people, right? The more you can show that you love other people, that's how you show to God. Yeah, I really love you that much, Lord. Okay, let's continue verse 11. It says, our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. And that's what it is. When you can love more, what does it say? You will not become spiritually what? Dull, right? Because yeah, we all can become spiritually dull where we're not going to impact anyone. Because when we're spiritually dull, you know, you're not speaking forth the love of God. You're not speaking forth what God wants you to speak forth, because you know what? The word of God is somehow diminished in your life. But when you allow the word of God to just come forth so mightily and powerfully upon you, that's how you talk about. You talk about God's love. You talk about God's power. You talk about God's presence in such a way, people, they take notice. Amen? And they say, please, can you tell me more about your God? Because I want what you have. And that's when you're going to see many people come to know Jesus Christ. Amen? I want you to look at number 3 now. It says, rest more. What are you resting more in? The presence of God. And you know, as Benson's trainer had told him time and time again, if you want your muscles to grow, you must rest them for a day or two. Otherwise, your muscle will be overworked and you're going to experience what? Great pain, yeah? And just imagine, you know, let's say today I say, okay, let's go, Benson, we're working on bicep. And I do, let's maybe like 60 reps. I say, oh, my muscles are just like huge and I'm pumping, you know? I'm like, yeah. And then maybe like, you know, 5 or 6 hours later, oh man, I want to do some more. I know it's all tight. I want to do some more. And I do another 60, right? Well, what's going to happen to my bicep? And I say, you know, let's put on even more weight. Oh, let's go. I want my muscles to get even bigger. And it looks like, right, all the blood is kind of pulling or pumping up in that area, right? But what's going to happen? You're going to experience great pain. I experienced this before. Oh, that pain is sore. And you don't want that, because, you know, once it's sore, guess what's going to happen? I don't want to do this anymore because I don't want this pain anymore. And then you say, okay, I'm going to rest now. And it's almost like you're forced to rest, right? And suddenly you rest and then, you know, you say, I'll go rest a couple of days. And 2 days go by. Oh, it's still kind of sore. I'm going to rest some more. Week goes by and you go, oh, I feel a little bit better, but I don't want to experience that pain anymore. So I'm just going to wait even longer. And guess what? We never get back on it. So don't do that. So what do we need to do? We need to what? Rest. And, you know, the trainer also stressed a lot about the importance of getting a lot of sleep. And he says at least 8 hours a day. Do we get at least 8 hours a day of sleep? Most of us, you want to get like, what, 4 or 5 hours, right? We got to get more on that, right? And he says you want to stay healthy and strong and make massive gains, you got to get a lot of sleep, right? And that's what the Lord tells us. We got to rest and we got to sleep. And, you know, and for the Christian, it basically means if you want to have spiritual growth, you got to make sure you find spiritual rest through God daily. And that's what I mean. I'm not talking so much about the Sabbath rest, okay? I'm talking about the fact that we need to rest in the Lord throughout the day. That's what I'm focusing on today's sermon. We got to focus on the fact that we got to get our mind on Jesus throughout the day. Because, you know what, can our days get hectic sometime? Yeah, I know mine can, you know? Where sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm pulling the hair out of my head. Oh, man, not another situation. And I'm going, oh, and then one thing, and then I always got to refocus. I always got to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, help me. That is what we call spiritual rest, when we get our mind back on track with God. And you know, this is so important because, you know, our days when they get busy and hectic, right, it's so easy just to keep on going, right? And you know, when we keep on going, you know, sometimes we get burnt out. We get to the point where, you know, we snap, you kind of lose it, right? And you know, a coworker say, "Oh, how you doing? What? What'd you say?" You know, you had situations like that. Come on, be honest, right? And you kind of go, "Wow, why am I acting like this?" Because we're not getting spiritual rest. You got to get retuned, refocused on Jesus. Amen. And that's where, as you do that, you know, you're going to have a smooth day. I'm going to tell you the times when I just kind of excuse myself. I say, okay, I can go to the restroom. And I'm in the stall. I'm just staring. I'm not just standing right there. I'm praying. I say, Lord, help me. You know, that's what I do. And I just kind of just go and refocus. I say, Lord, give me your strength. Lord, help me through this, you know. And as he does, you're going to find strength from him. Because here's the thing. When we always, you know, get to the point, we're just working, just like a mule, you know, just like we're always, you know, hauling things, always moving things, and we're just like going, and we're not resting. What's going to happen? You're going to burn out, and you're going to experience a lot of what? Pain in your life. I'm not just talking about physical pain. I'm talking about emotional pain where someone gets mad at you and they're yelling at you now because you have been a grumpy person all day, and suddenly people are hating you, people are saying terrible things about you. You're going to experience this kind of pain. So what do? Refocus. Get your mind back on the Lord. Excuse yourself. Start to pray. Ask God to fill you up with his presence. Amen. I want you to look what it says here in Psalm 127, 1 to 2. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. For what? God gives rest to his loved ones. So you think, okay, I got to work, because that's what I'm called to do. This is what I need to do. I got to provide for my family. I got to do what the pastor asked me to do. I got to keep going. And guess what? What does it say there? It is useless. You know, you do all this, but you're going to burn yourself out. And I'm going to tell you, I realize, you know, I'm one to say, you know, I'm guilty of that. Sometimes I don't get enough rest. You know, you are my brothers and sisters. I'm going to be honest. And Johnny kind of points that out to me, too. He said, Ben, you need to slow down, take a deep breath, and just rest. Because sometimes we think or we feel that we got to keep on going because there are so many needs to fulfill. There's so many things we got to accomplish. But God is saying, no, slow down, child. Rest in me. And as we do this, you're going to find, you're going to receive strength from the Lord. It's when you make that decision to slow down and find rest. Because that's what it says. For God gives what? Rest to his loved ones. Who are his loved ones? We are his children. And we got to realize that when we are not finding our spiritual rest in God, we tend to work harder and we get stressed out more and we experience burnout, getting burnt out even more often, right? Because you know, we're not taking the time to find spiritual rest. And sometimes, you know, we don't, you know, take that time to find spiritual rest with God. You think, okay, I got to do even more now. I got to tell you, that's when you're going to feel like you're going to hit a brick wall. And I'm sure you've been there. I've been there. And we realize, no, I should have spent more time with the Lord. I should have stepped aside and just prayed. I should have spent more time with the Lord as my day got busier and busier. And we got to realize that God, he's constantly at work in our lives. Amen? There's never a time when he's not in control. He's always working things out for us. He sees what we're doing. He knows what we're going through. And you know, we don't need to be burdened with all the situations and problems that we may have in our lives. You don't need to be. Not if you give it over to the Lord. Not if you have these times of rest, getting your mind back on the Lord. You're going to find that you constantly do this. Just take some deep breaths and say, Jesus, I need you. Oh, Jesus, help me. You know, just taking those moments, it makes all the difference in the world. Because you're reconnecting with God. Because sometimes we can get disconnected, amen, through our day. Get reconnected with him. And just tell him how much you love him, how much you need him. Because when your mind is always at rest with God, you can't imagine your day without him, you know. And it's in the case with Moses in Exodus 33. And this is in your, this is in your notes, Exodus 33, 12 to 15. But I'm going to start at verse 12. And in your notes, it's going to come in at verse 14. Just listen right now. This is what it says. It says, one day Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land. But you haven't told me whom you shall send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so that I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember, this nation is your very own people. Okay, look what it says here in verse 14. I want you to read it with me. Ready? Go. The Lord replied, I will what? Personally go with you, and I will give you rest. Everything will be, what does it say there? Fine for you. Then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. And here's the thing. I want you to circle that word if you got a pen, personally. What do you think that means? It means God himself, Jesus, he's looking at you. He's singling you out. He said, personally, I will take you by the hand. Not my angels. No. That's what it says here. It says, personally, I will go with you. And God is saying, child, if you trust in me, I'm going to be the one that's going to take you. I will take you by the hand and lead you to the promised land. And that's what we got to realize when we know for a fact that God personally will be the one to help us. Guess what he's going to give us? He's going to give us rest. He's going to give you peace of mind, so that you would not get all stressed out and just burnt out, right? And when God personally goes with us wherever we go, our minds will always be at rest. And that is why Moses needed this assurance that he would be with him. And you can almost think of it this way, that Moses was almost like a little child, you know, just dreading the thought that he could be lost without his parent. And you guys ever got lost as a child? I got to tell you, I have, you know, I was at, was Don Quixote, but it was Holiday Mart, I remember at that time. And somehow my mom got distracted talking to someone. And suddenly I was looking around, hey, mommy, where are you? Right? And I was like, maybe like 6 or 7 years old. That's terrifying. I still remember. I think about it. I start to get like, these weird feelings, you know, like my, it's like chicken skin. Because I remember it is terrifying. And that's how it is when you kind of sense that God is not there. Just like Moses, he starts freaking out. If you're not going to come with us, Lord, I don't want to go. And that's the kind of attitude we got to have. Say, Lord, I want you to be wherever I am, wherever I go. I want you to take me by the hand. I want you to be personally, you will be the one to go with me. And guess what? God, he shows up. And he will let you know, I'm here, child. Why are you worried? I love you. I always will be with you. And look what Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will what? I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. And so you know what a yoke is, right? It's a harness that's placed over two animals. So I guess he's giving us this kind of like a metaphor. He's saying, you put this harness over you. Guess what? The harness is over who? Jesus and you. And who's going to take the lead? You or Jesus? Of course, you're going to let Jesus take the lead. And because if you're going to start taking the lead, are you going to be guaranteed peace? No. But if you say, Jesus, I'll go wherever you go, you just go wherever he goes, and you're going to realize you're always going to walk into paths of blessings. Amen? Because God is the one, Jesus is the one that is leading you. And that's why Jesus, he wants you to find rest in him, that you let him do the lead, you're always going to be at peace. But look what it says in Mark 6, 30 to 32. Read it with me. Ready? Go. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and what? Rest for a while, for many were coming and going. They had no leisure even to eat. And then they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. So even Jesus, he recognized their times. Our days are so hectic. We don't even have time to eat. You ever had days like that? And then I know sometimes Johnny, you know, called me like 3 or 4 in the morning. I had such a busy day. Ben, did you eat yet? I said, nah, I didn't eat anything all day. You know, I just going from appointment to appointment to appointment. And I realized I gotta rest. Because if we don't rest, yeah, we're not machines. Because here's the thing, can machines break down? Oh yeah, even machines can break down. But you know, the fact is, if we know if we got human bodies, we don't take time to rest. Eventually, we're gonna physically break down, emotionally break down, and even spiritually break down. So we gotta find rest in the Lord. I want you to go to Caesar in Psalm 4:6-8. Read it with me, ready? Go. Many people say, who will show us better times? Let your face smile on us, Lord. You have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvests of grain and new wine. In peace, I will lie down. And what's going to happen? And sleep. For you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. So I want you to understand here, this very important thing. God gives us what? Rest. He gives us rest and gives us peace, right? But here's the thing, when he gives you rest and he gives you peace, what's going to happen after that? You're going to sleep like a baby, right? It's because when we don't have rest, we don't have peace, oh, we stay up all night, right? We got insomnia, right? We're just, I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, you know, and we're just going back and forth. We're pacing back and forth. We're wearing out the carpet in our living room. And suddenly we kind of go, wow, you know, how come I can't find peace? Because you're not resting in the Lord. Amen? We got to slow down. We got to take a deep breath. And guess what? The sleep will come naturally. Okay? Because remember, the trainer said to have rest and sleep. Well, you rest in the Lord. The sleep will come naturally. Amen? Look what it says in Jeremiah 31:24-26. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Townspeople and farmers and shepherds alike will live together in peace and happiness, for I have given rest to the weary and joy to the sorrowing. At this, I woke up and I looked around. My sleep had been what? Very sleep. And that's what it is, right? When you kind of see that everything is working out the way that it should be, that there's great peace all around you, right? Even the people that are around you, because you've been peaceful, guess what? It's going to affect others too. When you're at peace, it kind of like rubs off, you know what I'm saying, on others, and suddenly they're peaceful, they're happy, and then you're going to go, wow, because I'm at such great peace, my sleep had been very sweet. And that's what we want. We want sweet sleep with sweet dreams, right? And that's what you're going to get when you're always at peace with God. You know, I got to tell you about this time. There was this man, right, who challenged another man to this all-day wood chopping contest, right, like lumberjacks, okay? So this challenger worked very hard, stopping only for a brief lunch break. But the other man, right, had a leisurely lunch, and he took several breaks throughout the day. So at the end of the day, the challenger was surprised and annoyed to find that the other fellow had chopped substantially more wood than he did. And he said, I don't get it. And he told the guy, he says, every time I checked, you were taking a rest, and yet you chopped more wood than I did. What happened there? And the guy says, well, you didn't notice this one thing, the winning woodsman said. You didn't notice that I was sharpening my axe when I sat down to rest. That's what happens. When you take the time to rest, God is sharpening you up. He's sharpening your heart. He's sharpening your soul. He's sharpening your mind because you are fixed on his son, Jesus Christ. You know, that's why the Bible says, fix your minds on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. That's the only way our faith will be perfected, meaning that we're not going to fall out of the race. We're going to keep going strong for the Lord because our minds are fixed on him. And that's what it is in this case, right, where you know if you take the time to rest, God is always sharpening you up. You know, you always will be sharpened to the point where you're always ready. For whatever may come forth in your life, you're ready because you got the word of God so deep in your mind, so deep in your heart that you're not going to let whatever the devil's going to do, right, to bring you down. I want you to take a look at the bottom line verse here now. You know, I got to tell you, you know, one day we're all going to be standing before the Lord. Amen? And you know, and in his gracious love, he's always going to welcome us all into his Father's house. And during this time, right, he may talk to us about how well we served him while we were here on this planet Earth and how much our attitude and behavior had changed since we had accepted him into our hearts. Now, just imagine, right, that he would allow us to hear some of the prayers we had prayed to Father God while we were here on this planet Earth. Just imagine if it was a prayer like this. Just listen. If this was our prayer, you know, "Dear God, so far today, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm very thankful for that, oh Lord. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm probably going to need a lot of help. Amen." Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you, God, he wants to hear this kind of prayer. Because, yeah, we can be perfect right through our night because we're not interacting with people, right? And that's why we can pray a prayer. Oh, yeah, I've been good. I've been, you know, I haven't been greedy. I haven't been selfish. Because what? Because we're sleeping, right? But sleeping. But here's the thing. When we wake up, we get out of bed, we go out to the door. Guess what? That's when adversity can come. That's when trouble can come because people, sometimes they can be nasty, right? I mean, some people can be very unkind, and some people can, you know, give you certain kind of symbols as you're driving your car, right? Or whatever it may be, right? Or it could be that they may say a nasty word to you, and you kind of go, wow, this is not going to be a good day. Well, the fact of the matter is, right, you know you always got to fix your mind on the Lord because we know we want and desire to grow spiritually. What do we mean by growing spiritually? It means growing close. Closer and closer to the very heart of God. So much so, you're going to feel his heartbeat. That you're going to know what to do in the most worst of worst situations because you know his son. Because you know his word. Amen? I want you to look what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:15 to 17. We'll close with this scripture. Read it with me. Ready? Go. "He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer" what? "Live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Jesus Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become" what? "A new person. The old life is gone. The new life has come." I want you to really get this part in verse 16. It says, "So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view." And another translation says, "We stop evaluating others according to their flesh." Because here's the thing. If we just look at our flesh, right? I mean, just think, that's all there is, right? Someone says something to us and we, "Oh, look at you. You're so mean to me. Look, look at the grimace on your face. You know, you really hate me." And we just look in the physical. But it says we got to stop evaluating others from a human point of view. Because if it's not the flesh, what is it? It's the spirit. I want you to catch this. Because when we just look at others, not so much on the outside, we look on the what? The inside. As God looks at the heart, right? We're to look at other people's heart. We got to look within our own hearts. This is what we mean by spiritual, because that's our soul. This is a makeup of who we are. And if you keep looking at others just based on what you see on the outside, guess what? We're always going to react. But you got to look on the inside. You got to ask yourself, why is this person being so mean to me? Did something happen at home? You know, are you willing to ask, you know, everything okay? You know, because this person may be snapping at you, right, saying all these terrible things. Oh, is there something I can pray for you? You know, are you okay at home? And you'd be surprised, because I've done this before. Because some people, you know, they're mean to me, they say terrible things. And I just ask them, so is everything okay? And sometimes they will just give their whole life story, right? You don't know what I'm going through. You know, my husband, da 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 da. And they just give a whole story. And I'm sitting down, oh, like 45 minutes. You know? And I go, okay, let's pray already, you know. And that's the thing. That's why we got to realize we got to look in the spiritual. You want to have spiritual growth? We got to look within our spirit and look within the spirits of others. Look into their soul. Look into their eyes, because the Bible says their eyes are the windows to their what? Their soul. And you take the time, you know, to hold their hand or just to kind of, you know, just comfort them, you know, and just say, you know, let's pray because I really care about you. Can we give this over to Jesus because my Lord God loves you? I tell you, what difference that would make, amen? So that's what it is. When you want to grow spiritually, look within your own heart and soul and be concerned of what other people are going through in their lives, amen? Why don't we go ahead, let's bow our heads, let's bow our hearts, let's come before our Father in heaven. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this message today. And we realize, Lord God, that as we desire to grow spiritually, we know we got to look so deep within our hearts and souls. Father, it's not just about looking at what's on the outside, it's looking what is on the inside. And that is in regard, not just to the people around us, it also is in regard to ourselves. And Father, we know as we start doing this, we know we will spiritually grow because this is the only way that we're going to experience the spiritual maturity that we want, because we know when we look within our spirit, that's where we're going to find Jesus. And we know we're becoming more and more like Jesus as we react in the way that you want us to react. And that is always in love. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, as I listen to today's message, I realize that I have a lot of growing up to do. You know what? It's okay. If you really sense that, you know, maybe it's the Holy Spirit convicting your heart that maybe you haven't been doing what you're supposed to be doing. You haven't been growing. You know, it's okay. Don't be hard on yourself because Jesus loves you. God loves you more than you shall ever know. And all he desires that you have a heart that is convicted and that is willing to improve, that is willing to change. Because if you desire this, God, he will give you the power to have the victory. You're going to see how he will enable you to mature in the ways of his word. That you know that you're becoming more like Jesus because you're living, you're choosing to live according to his word. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you're saying, you know, Pastor Ben, that is me. Lord, I know I failed in so many ways, but Lord, I'm turning my mind and turning my heart over to you. If this is your heart's desire right now, can you just raise your hand? Say, that's me, so I can pray for you. Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else saying, Lord, that is me. I'm so desperate for your help, Lord. Praise God. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, you can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands. And I know, Father, you know if they are sincere about this prayer. Father, I know you're going to come in. You're going to show yourself to be faithful and true. You're going to demonstrate your power and your love to them. Father, I pray, Lord, that great miracles will take place and that as their hearts are changed, Father, they truly are becoming more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord, just for your hand of protection over us as we go on our separate ways. Father, let your presence continually be strong. Let us be renewed in our spirit as we fix our minds and hearts on your Son, Jesus Christ. We love you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Let's all stand, church.